School PR professionals spend a few weeks a year participating in professional development and networking, if they're lucky. We use this time to connect through conversation and shared experiences. Conversation is one of the best parts of our jobs, but then we go back to our daily work and the time for connection begins to wear off.
Welcome to School PR Happy Hour. During our time together, our goal is to continue a sense of collaboration and shared conversation throughout the whole year.
We are a community of communicators that lean on each other in hard times and times of celebration and learn from each other regularly.
This podcast gives us the chance to get to know each other better by sharing our passions about furthering education one story at a time.
Whether you are listening on your morning commute or winding down after work, we are so glad you're here and look forward to learning alongside you today.
What's up, everybody, and welcome into another episode of School PR Happy Hour. My name's Justin Deering. I'm a communication strategist for CISO Communications. In sports, when your new schedule comes out and you see a game against your rival or you know you have a big event coming up, there's a saying that you're going to circle that day on the calendar and work towards that. Well, today is that day for me this season. Since we wrote out what we were going to do this season early, I had this interview circled as the one I was most excited about. As we know, education has become a competitive marketplace, and the first step to truly competing in this space is to understand your brand. Today, we're talking to my friend, colleague, and baseball enthusiast, Bob Noyd, APR, about all things branding. I've been able to work with Bob on a few branding projects over the past year and a half, and every time we have this conversation, I nerd out pretty hard. So I apologize in advance if this is a longer than usual episode. I've had the privilege to work with Bob on a few branding projects over the last year and a half, and every time we have this conversation, I nerd out pretty hard. So I apologize in advance if this is a longer than usual episode, but I hope you take notes, I hope you learn from it, and I hope you see something you can use in your district when we're done. Thanks for being here, and I hope you enjoy this conversation with Bob Noyd.
Hi, this is Dr. Jill at Class Intercom, and we're honored to once again be the official sponsor of School PR Happy Hour. I spent 30 years in education as a teacher and administrator, so I know the challenges schools face when it comes to social media. Class Intercom makes approvals, moderation, analytics, and archival easy. With our support, schools and districts are able to champion student voice and tell impactful stories that engage their communities. To learn more, contact me or the rest of our team at classintercom.com.
In, I guess, the School PR Happy Hour Lounge is where we're at today. And I'm excited because my friend, my colleague, my baseball buddy, Bob Noyd, is joining me today in the lounge. Bob, how's it going today?
Awesome. Awesome, Justin. Good to be with you.
Well, let's start it off with, I mean, if you're getting the privilege of seeing the video of this, we're both wearing jerseys. He's in his Twins jersey. I'm in my Rangers jersey. We're big baseball guys, and we're excited that we're getting this done in the morning because there's wild card games this afternoon to watch. So, Bob, you spent your summer kind of traveling around, and if you follow the CISO Communications Twitter or LinkedIn, you saw Bob spent some time in some baseball stadiums this summer. Talk a little bit about that, just what you saw and just why you love the game of baseball real quick.
Yeah, the first visit, the first stadium of the year was actually with you. You and I went to the a Rangers game against the Yankees. So that was the first visit, I think, at the end of April. Minor league clubs. Did a minor league club in Midland, Texas, early May. And my last one, which I haven't posted yet, was a visit to a ballpark, a double-A park in Portland, Maine. I saw the Portland Sea Dogs play the Hartford Yard Goats.
And the Yard Goats have some great hats.
And the Yard Goats have some great hats. No, it's just been fun. I've gone with a whole variety of people. I've gone to a bunch of Twins games, of course, because that's my hometown team. And gone with our company presidents. Lance Leibengood and I try to go to two or three games a year, but I have been to Phoenix and, you know, hung out with Jim Cummings and went to Kansas City and hung out with our colleague and friend Nicole Kirby and was in Inspra in St. Louis and went with Jim Cummings again and our friend and colleague Ron Kaler, who's the superintendent at Kent ISD. in Michigan. And so I've just spent the, it's just fun. I mean, it's just fun to go and, you know, hang out and drink a beer and have a hot dog and just, you know, I always say if you go to a baseball game, you've got to go with somebody who you can have a conversation with, because just staring at the game for 2.5 or 3 hours it can be pretty boring. So it's just a great place to go to talk and, you know, have a conversation. And even if you talk about baseball, it's something that it's just fun to do. It's just fun to do.
It was great. The Ranger game we went to was like 15-1 Rangers, and you got to love seeing the Yankees get stomped. So that just helps. But for those of you that don't know, you know, I work at CISO Communications. Bob does as well. Bob has been in school PR for, you know, a few years now and has spent time as INSPR president and in district. So as always, we just kind of want to start off with the first question today, just being talk a little bit about your journey into school PR and how you found school PR and just kind of, you know, your love for this area and why you do what you do.
Well, I was, you know, like so many other people in this work, I was trained as a journalist and was working in some small newspapers in Minnesota. And I always tell the story about, I said, I found school communication the way most people do. I just needed a job. I didn't have a job and I needed one. And I found this school district in suburban Minneapolis who had an opening for a communications person that matched my talents, mostly writing and, you know, writing and photography at the time. And I had no idea school districts had people like us. So I applied and got the job. And, you know, I went into school communications because I needed work. I stayed because I loved it. But the folks that I got to work with in those first 2 and 3 and 4 years inspired me and just made me love it and surrounded me with people who I learned from. One of my first mentors was a colleague by the name of Dawn McDowell. And Dawn she was INSPR president at the time that I first met her. She was in the neighboring district. And my superintendent at the time gave me the best advice and said, you need to go talk to Dawn. So I did. And she just took me under her wing and taught me things that, you know, she just kind of charted a course for me and said, this is what you're going to do. And, you know, fortunately enough for me, I was smart enough to listen to her because I had no idea what I was doing, but I just did what she told me to do. And you know, after that, I just kept doing it. I just kept working. I've never taken a course in public relations. I've learned a lot about it, but I've never taken a course. And, you know, I know practically how to do this work. And, you know, most of my experience and most of my learning and most of the opportunities that I've had in this career have really been at the feet of other people. I mean, some of the great names, some of the great leaders in school communications, I'm fortunate enough to, you know, call friends and mentors. And, you know, that's where this all came from. I mean, I'm just kind of a conduit and sharing with, you know, other people what I've learned from folks that came before me.
Well, that's awesome. But I also will say that you do the same to other folks. You pour into other folks and you grow other folks. Like this conversation we're having today, honestly, 8 to 10 to 12 months ago, you may have said, Justin, what's a brand? And Justin would be like, it's a cool logo and a tagline. But here we are having a podcast about it because we've had many a conversation the last year. So first and foremost, thank you for pouring into me over the last year and a half that we've known each other. And then just also everybody that you help and continue to present and share your knowledge. Today's topic is branding. And it is something that, like I said in the intro, I nerd out over. And this episode may go longer than our normal, like 25 to 30 minutes, depending on how the conversation goes. But there's a lot to talk about. You know, I live in Texas currently. And, you know, you're from Minnesota. And you've told me numerous times that Minnesota is like the birthplace of school choice and the competitive marketplace that is education. It's kind of new here in Texas. It's really rising here. There's legislation out to kind of change some things. It's a little different everywhere you go. But the conversation we've had multiple times is just that, you know, no matter if you're competing for students or competing for teachers or competing for funding or whatever that looks like, if you don't know who you are and what you stand for in your brand, you can't properly compete in that marketplace. So today we're going to talk about branding. It's more than a logo. It's more than a tagline. Yeah. And, you know, I've had the opportunity over the last 18 months to sit with you on multiple projects and hear this conversation. And then you've involved me in it and bought me a book that I've read twice now. And we've just had some fun conversations about this in districts. And I just wanted to bring it to the podcast because there's so much more to it than just the visuals. So let's just dive in. What is your definition? What do you, when you talk, start talking about branding, what do you really mean by that? Like, what do you mean by a brand?
Well, let's keep it really simple. It's who you are as an organization. In thinking about a district, I'll use the term organization, who you are as an organization and what makes you unique. And then the experience or the expression of that brand is, how do you amplify that? How do you amplify and communicate what makes you unique? One of the things that we know and learn about school districts, we think about, okay, here's a school district. They're all the same. They all do the same thing. They all teach kids. They all have schools. They all have classrooms. And some of that is true, but every organization, every school district that we're encountering and that I've encountered is different. We've done a whole batch of brand architecture exercises, brand clarification exercises with school districts, and they're all different. And so I think it's important for school districts to understand who they are as an organization, so they can communicate that, and other people who align with that can be drawn to it. For example, if I understand, if I'm a teacher looking for a job, I'm going to look at who you are and see if that aligns with what I'm looking for. And if it doesn't, then maybe I'm going to go someplace else. But it's really important for all organizations to really identify their core brand, who they are, and then express that through a whole variety of things. The graphic identity, the logo, the look is a part of the brand. But one of the graphics that we use, and it's overused, but it works, is the iceberg, you know, where you've got the tip of the iceberg sticking out of the water, and the whole chunk of ice underneath the water. The logo is the tip that's sticking above the water. The stuff under the water is the stuff that I'm talking about. That's the messaging. It's the language. It's what shapes the experience. When you think about a corporate brand or a corporate entity, you see the logo, you see the Target logo or Apple or whatever, you know, pick something, you see that visually, but behind that is what the organization, who they are as an organization, how they make decisions, how they function. And that's the piece that I think school districts can really learn from and dig into. Because it's really important to figure out who are you as an organization, and how do you show up in the marketplace? And I use that term a lot in schools. Is we have been and are in a marketplace, which our families, our parents, our employees, or potential employees are shopping. They're going into the marketplace and they're choosing a school district, or they're choosing a program. And the days of only public schools are long gone. And we have to show up in the marketplace in a way that is real, and that we can express to our potential clients, this is who we are. If you come to us, this is what you'll get. This is how you'll be treated. This is the experience that you have. So in some ways, thinking of a brand is also shifting your brain to think about, okay, we're in a competitive marketplace, and how do we show up in that marketplace?
So when, as a district is diving into this, we've done some projects for districts where we've gone in and helped uncover.
Yeah.
We don't go in and tell them who they are. We uncover who they are and ask some questions. What does that process look like for the school district? Because, you know, right now, if you ask me some of my former work or some of the districts here around us, I may be able to, from an outsider looking in, they're an everyman archetype. We'll talk about archetypes later, but they're all these, they're this. But as I've seen with you in a room, it gets interesting because there's people in that room that think this, there's people in there, and it's kind of coming together and melding it all together. What does the process of uncovering your brand look like in a district?
Yeah, I think it starts with Justin, some sort of engagement, some sort of research, some sort of insight where and we've done this in varying ways where there's been larger engagement exercises, research activities that inform the conversation. They provide some insight. They provide some, not so much data, but really insight about community perspectives and that sort of thing. But it starts with kind of some level of engagement or research. And then our approach is really just digging in and asking questions. What's the next two or three levels when you say, well, we're a K-12 school district in rural Minnesota and blah, 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 blah. Okay, what's next? And what's after that? And we start to probe and poke and jostle a little bit to get people to talk about what's really behind this organization and what drives it. What drives this organization? Why does it exist? That's one of the questions we ask people. If aside from educating the community's children, if you didn't exist as an organization, why would you need to be created? What need are you filling? So we get people to talk about questions like that and really kind of, in some ways, it's helping them uncover their identity. And they already know it. They already know. There's no secrets because they all know who they are. It's just kind of digging down some layers a little bit and getting people to express and think about and talk about kind of what that looks like and who we are as a collective organization and all of the organizations that I've worked with, both in the work we do at CISO and in my experience in school districts, everyone's able to do it. They're all able to figure it. If given the opportunity, everybody knows who they are as an organization. It just takes sometimes some poking and prodding to get down a couple layers. So you're not just a K-12 school district. You're a K-12 school district with so you get two or three or four layers underneath. That's what identifies the brand is that depth, again, the stuff under the water, not just the thing that shows, not just the field of the logo on the helmet on Friday night or the logo on your website. It's the stuff underneath that really forms the foundation of you as an organization.
One, like you mentioned, my favorite question from those sessions that we do is, if you cease to exist tomorrow, why do you need to immediately be recreated?
Yeah.
Other than education. And it's like some of the answers we've heard in a couple of the different districts that I've been able to work with you on is, you know, we're the center of the community. The community doesn't, we don't run the community, or the community doesn't run us. We run the community. If we went away, the community would go away. That's huge. And when that answer comes out and you mention it, and then everybody in the room's like, yeah, you're right. Like that's, I didn't think of it that way. And you, like I said earlier, you've got mixed people saying different things, but then the little answers come out, you dig a little deeper, and then they realize they're all saying the same thing. Yeah. They're just saying it a little bit different, and then you can identify who they are.
Hi, my name is Eric Hageman, and this is my school PR story. I love working with school districts because I truly think that they are the foundation of our society. I think public education especially is so crucial in our society. When I first started out in communications in the private sector, I was working for companies that made like roofing products and power generators and like things that I was not passionate about. It's really hard for me to get excited about going to work every day in those roles, knowing that, you know, how was I really making a difference doing that? When I came to school PR, I immediately saw the impact that I was having and the impact that our educators are having every day in the classroom too. So for me, it really goes back to that mission-driven aspect. And that's where I see a lot of similarities between schools and nonprofits as well, is sort of, you know, doing what they can each and every day, sometimes with a limited budget, but really trying to make an impact for the communities that they're serving. So really that mission-driven aspect is kind of what keeps me going every day. And
let's talk just briefly a little bit about the archetypes, because honestly, I know me and you could get into an archetype talk for probably 2.5-3 hours. But, you know, you said they all know who they are. Well, how does that line up with brand archetypes? What are brand archetypes for those that don't know about it? And just kind of how does that drive the brand? And then I do want to get into some of the, like, once you've identified that, and we can do this a little bit later. Once you identified that, how does that shape your messaging and how does that shape your communicating after that for our communicators?
So the notion of a brand archetype, this can truly be a rabbit hole. I mean, we could dive deep into this thing for a long, long time. But there are 60 archetypes developed by famed psychiatrist Carl Jung, J-U-N-G. And they're basically types of personalities that he organized, and there's 60, there's 12 main categories, and there's 60 in total. And what these archetypes do is provide a perspective or a point of view to create a brand or to align with. It's not seeking something to be identical with. It's really giving you a perspective and point of view. And most corporations, most businesses that have well-developed brands have an archetype that they align with. And there are, again, there are 60 of them. The conversations that we have in school districts is you can take about half of those and just set them aside because they just flat out don't fit in the kind of work that a school district does. They fit with a retail organization or an entertainment organization or a for-profit company, but they just flat out don't fit in a school district. So it kind of narrows the field to, I don't know, 25 or 30 of them. And what we do is, again, have the conversations, and then we start with what's the archetype that they might align with. And what that does is it gives you a little bit of an insight, gives you a point of view of how this district shows up in the marketplace. You know, again, it's not a match for match. It's really kind of gives you a perspective. And it's also a fun exercise to think about how you as an organization, how you might align with one of these archetypes. It can also be incredibly hard and frustrating because some districts are just, or some organizations you look at and you go, boom, that's it right there. Right. That's it. Others are, you know, organizations are complex and they're, how do you think through this? And again, it's not it's an exercise to help us and help the district kind of understand their perspective and how they show up in the marketplace and how they respond and how they react in the marketplace. So it's a great it's a great exercise and a great thinking, but again, it gives you, it forms a part of the framework that we call a brand architecture, that it just gives us a point of view and structure to build a brand.
So you don't want your school district to be a joker. That's what
you don't want your school district to be the joker archetype. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of, this is a pretty deep rabbit hole but it's a fascinating area to look into and to do some research around, because you can learn so much. You can learn so much about organizations. And again, you see, pick your favorite, a business or corporation, and you see their, you see or their logo, but there's so much more, and kind of digging into that is really interesting and really, really helpful. And we, when we do this for school districts, there's always one or two or maybe three that really, when you come down to it, are just really clear and really great fits with a school district and an archetype.
And this isn't just a unique to CISO thing. This isn't like, oh, CISO is the only people in the world that can. No. This is out there. You go, like, this is conversations you can have if you have a communications team as a whole to do the digging and have conversations. But one of my favorite things from this has been what you just said, where you, like, grab Nike and look at Nike and then figure out who their archetype is. And now you understand why they say and use the words they use, why they communicate with certain, almost with the colors and the style, because it all relates back. Outlaw is the one I think of most often with Harley Davidson. You've got Harley Davidson. That's your Outlaw brand. And what you see there is that's the Outlaw. So, and it works that way for school districts as well. So let's say we've gone through the process and we've identified our archetype. We've built out the architecture. We understand, how, what we're doing, why we're doing, how we do it. How does this kind of understanding and knowing that you know who you are now, how can this start to shape your messaging? And, and kind of whether it's communications through graphics or if it's letters to your community or something, how does knowing your brand and knowing who you are help shape who you are and what you say to your community?
That's another podcast, right? We could have another podcast for just that one question. It shows up in a variety of ways. First of all, let's talk about how it shows up graphically. So oftentimes when we have done brand clarification processes with school district clients, we have done them and not changed their graphic identity. So we have done the brand clarification, the architecture piece, but we haven't changed their logo. So the graphic identity has stayed the same. For those who you do the architecture and the identity, you start to think through about the identity and how does that show up in the school district or in your communications? Are there styles of photographs that you use? Are you making sure that you use kinds of images and kinds of design and kinds of photographs that are communicating the messages that you would want to communicate? You use the example of Harley Davidson and the Outlaw archetype. You would want your graphics, you would want your topography, you would want your photos to align with that. So you're probably not gonna show, like, teddy bears and
bubble riding.
Your graphic representation, your graphic presence is going to align with that. It can drive your it can and should drive your marketing. Again, both for if you're in a place like Texas or Minnesota where you have a competition for students, so you're recruiting students, or even if you don't, everyone's recruiting for staff. How are those messages being driven? What are those messages, and then how are we communicating them to those particular audiences. One of the most compelling things, I think, in a brand and brand messaging and brand language really comes from when you get to the level that it drives how you communicate on a daily and regular basis. And I'll use a couple examples. A couple years ago or a year and a half ago, I forget the timing, but when the tragic shooting happening, happened at Uvalde in Texas, you know, school districts across America were sending messages or sending messages to parents. And I looked at about 30 different messages from districts across the country. And other than the kind of the name of the district and kind of the, a lot of them were the same. They were very similar in terms of thoughts and prayers. And, you know, you could have taken this message and put it in any school district. And they were very similar, except for two districts that we had been working with on the brand piece, and they wrote, and we helped them. But their messages, and one came from a superintendent and one came from a group of principals. Their brand, their archetype, who they were, was expressed in that letter, in that message to parents related to this tragic event. And so their voice came out in a very clear, very authentic way. It wasn't just, you know, thoughts and prayers. They spoke through their voice. And I think one of the things that a clear brand does is clarifies your voice. How do you sound? How do you show up? How do you appear in the marketplace and in, you know, with your audiences? And I think that is one of the really powerful things is you understand your voice and you understand how you communicate. And the other thing I will say is a brand goes beyond the people who are in it, in the school district. So it's not about the superintendent. It's not about the board. It's not about the communicator. It's about this is the heart and soul of the organization. And I, as the communicator, or you as the communicator, get the privilege to speak through that voice. But if I go away and somebody else comes in, the brand is still there. And it gets, it again, really provides that foundation. I love to think of it as both the heart and the soul, because it drives so many things, but it also has that. It's got strength and emotion, and a clear brand shows up in both ways.
And I think when you go into some of these districts that are, you know, established, have been around for a long time, and have these conversations that, yes, this is who we are as an organization. It's also who we are as a community. A lot of times it's like, yeah, you know, they feed off each other. They're not in silos, the school and the community, they work together. But when you get a clear brand with a clear message and a clear voice, that builds like wildfire. And that's where you see people in the situation with those letters that you're talking about, the people in those community almost rallying behind that communication, being like, that's exactly what we do in this. This is exactly who we are. We stand against this. That is the fun part for me, is like to see when we get the opportunity to do it, or when a district does it on their own, they plant this little seed and it grows and it catches on. And then you start hearing down the street or in a grocery store, the same words that being used to describe, and, you know, no, that district does this, this, and this. And it's the three words or messaging that, you know, they've used, it aligned with that. And it builds to something bigger than just that conversation. It builds to, you know, a brand. That's a weird way of putting it, but it builds to where that is the identity of who they are and how they operate. And that's so cool.
If you use the analogy of each of us as human beings have a personality, and we show up in communities, and we show up in workplaces, and we show up in families in a particular way. I mean, and that's what makes us as humans. Our personality drives how we respond, and it's how we show up in the world. That's what a brand for a school district does. It's how do you as an organization show up? What's your voice? What's your collective voice, and what does that look and feel like? And I think that's the level of power. When you communicate at that level, you're communicating much more deeply, and it's far less superficial. I think a lot of times we get stuck in kind of communicating at a similar level, but we don't really get down deep enough and communicate what's really about the organization. So I think it's the personality part, that every organization has a personality, and what the brand does is help discover that, helps discover and helps communicate. What's your personality as an organization? How do you sound? What do you value? How do you show up? Those are really important things. And I think thinking about it as a human, as an individual, how we all show up in our interactions in our communities is a way to think about how does a school district show up in the community. Again, thinking about those, you know, look and feel and sound, and you know what that looks like.
So let's say there's somebody out there listening right now that's kind of intrigued by this, like I was the first time I heard you talk about it. And they're like, man, we really should do something with this. If they were, you know, let's just say sitting in their office, like, what can I do tomorrow? What would be like your first couple of steps in your mind that would be a good starting jumping off point to kind of identify who you are?
Well, I think I might ask some questions maybe of myself first, or maybe you can have, you know, maybe you can spin this conversation with your superintendent or some other folks to say, who are we? I mean, what at the core of our district, who are we? And maybe you look. You start with a document like the strategic plan. Sometimes a strategic plan for a school district sometimes it doesn't help at all because they're just kind of work plans and they don't give you a lot of vision. But sometimes a strategic plan, if a well-developed plan, will give you some depth and some vision about who you are as an organization. But I think asking yourself and asking those people around you some of those questions is, you know, who are we? When we show up in the community, what does it look like? How do people respond? Is it consistent? I mean, when we show up, are we showing up the same way on a regular basis? Or is it like, okay, that we do this and we do that? Just kind of understanding maybe your current reality. What, and beyond the logo, don't look at the logo. The logo might be ugly and needs to be changed, but that's a small part of this. But to really think about as an organization, how do we show up? How do we sound when we speak or when we communicate? How do we sound? Is it consistent? One of the exercises that I also like to do is find 20 external folks, parents, community members, and 15-20 staff members who you would identify as your greatest cheerleaders. The people who are these people love us no matter what we do. They are our greatest advocates. And ask them a couple simple questions, but the core question is something like, what's our brand? What do you think we stand for as an organization? Or to get them to describe your organization. And what I would be looking for is consistency. Is our are you hearing from those 30, 35, 40 people a consistent description of who you are as an organization? Or is it all over the wallpaper? If it's all over the wallpaper, you got some work to do, because there's not clarity. If there's consistency, now you got some clarity. Okay, people are kind of understanding who we are as an organization at maybe, you know, a surface level or another. But how do we then unpack that a little bit and get a little bit more depth and to communicate it more broadly and more consistently? But I think just kind of spending some time and just really consider and to think about it would be a great first step. Jumping into the branding pool is, you know, sometimes we as communicators have to convince other people that this is the right thing to do. And if we can come with some thoughtful consideration, you know, maybe that helps with others. Other people start to see what it might look and feel like.
Well, this is, like we said, this is obviously something you can do with your cabinet, your leadership, your communications team, tying in your community. It's also something we do at CISO. We do have a brand identity project that we work on. So I want to give you the opportunity to just, you know, shortly elevator pitch that, I guess, and just kind of what service do we offer when it comes to the branding side of things?
Yeah, I don't want to sell anything, but what we really do is help people walk through the process. And, you know, we can facilitate those conversations, and we can help people kind of draft that architecture and to learn about it and to kind of, you know, to identify the architecture and then help them implement it. And there's lots of people out there who can do it. We mm-hmm. love this work. And we, you know, our heart and soul is with school districts. That's what we do. But yeah, that's really kind of the approach that we would take and, you know, the involvement that we would have.
Well, Bob, I can't let you leave without asking you the question that we ask everybody, because we are all here because we serve kids and we want to do what's best for students. And at some point in our life, someone supported us when we were kids. So when you think back across your time in school, whether it's, you know, elementary, K-12, college, is there a teacher or an administrator or someone on your educational journey that just left a lasting impact on you that's led you to where you are today?
Yeah, there's a couple, actually. Well, there's probably more than a couple, but there's a couple that I would share. One is was my first grade teacher, who her name, when I had her, her name was Beverly Moy, and she got remarried and or she got married, and her name was Clammer at the end. I think she has gone back to her maiden name, but she was my first grade teacher, and I had a chance to work with her a number of years ago when I was doing some writing on the side and for a publishing company. And I called her and I said, "Bev, would you come and talk to these salespeople about this series of books for children?" And she said, "Well," she said, "I'm not really qualified to do that. I don't have my master's degree." And I just looked at her and I said, "Bev, you've been teaching kids how to read for 35 years. I think that, and that's really the foundation, is this appreciation and love for a love for reading and love for the language and love for, you know, communicating." It's been a few years since I've seen her, but when I get a chance, I always try to connect with her. There's also a high school teacher. His name is Dale Lund. I went to school in a school district here in Minnesota, Dassel-Cokato School District. And Mr. Lund was a social studies teacher, and he had a class called Current Affairs or Current Events. I think it was Current Events. And we basically studied and read and discussed the newspaper, and Time Magazine. That was the content for our discussions. And we had a test every week about the current events. It was very, you know, fill in the blank. And then we had a final, and it was always, it was 200 questions, and it we graded it, or we looked at the test, we reviewed the test in class over 2 days. And the final exam that we took, he was going into the second day, I had a perfect score. And he was so excited that the inspiration that, now I ended up getting one wrong out of 200, but the learning that I had from him and the love of kind of understanding the world around you, there was, it was just so joyful. And it's something I still do. I'm kind of a media, I mean, I look at newspapers, online newspapers, and I look at content all the time. And it really started, it really started there. Cause I mean, what, you know, back in the day, we actually picked up a newspaper, and it was a paper newspaper. And, you know, I still love that. I still love that possibility, and still love doing that.
Well, that's awesome. Well, thanks for sharing that, and thanks for coming on today. You did say it earlier on a question where I asked a question, and your response was, "Man, that's a whole different episode. We could do a whole hour on that." I'm going to leave that option open to you, because I have a feeling that, I know every time we've talked about this in front of people, we always have one or two people who are like, "I need to do that." And I have a feeling we're going to get some responses to this episode that are, "Hey, I need to do that." And maybe it's something we need to revisit in the second half of the season, and come back and dig deeper as a branding 2.0 episode, if there's a good response to it.
Yeah.
I'm open to it.
And there's a couple other things and you know, that I would say is, and I know there are states that may not have the level of competition that is present in Minnesota and other places, but these kinds of conversations are really important for educators and people involved in education. It's really important that we have them. There will be more, not less, competition for public schools. And we've already seen it. I mean, we have, in Minnesota, we have open enrollment, we have charter schools, we've long had private schools, we have online schools, we have any variation, we have homeschooling. There continues to be more and more options for families to have their children educated. So we have to move past the idea that we're the only show in town, because we're not. There's too many other choices for families to make. So if you're now in that marketplace, in that choice marketplace, where they can or don't have to choose your school district, how are you presenting yourself in that marketplace that that allows people to assess how you compare and what makes you unique compared to all of these other choices? And I'm of the opinion that most of our school districts are public school districts in this country compete very well with all of the other options. If they can really speak to who they are and give a and not be afraid of it. Sometimes I think we're afraid of talking about who we are, what we're good at, and how we show up, and we ought not be afraid of that. And in a clear, clarified brand really kind of gives us the foundation or the launching pad to really talk about our organizations in a very positive and productive way.
Well, Bob, thank you for having this conversation. I know we've been talking about it for a couple months, and it finally landed on a day where there's baseball in the afternoon, and we got it done in the morning. As we move forward through these playoffs, I am pulling for the Twins until that day that they'd have to take on the Rangers. And then we may not talk for a couple weeks, but, you know,
no, we'll talk. We'll talk. We'll talk. I love the Rangers. I mean, it's just fun. It's just fun to watch. And thanks for the opportunity to talk about this. I know we both get a little ramped up about some of these ideas, and it's just fun to talk about them. And if there's things that as your listeners, if they have questions, I'm pretty easy to find. Send me a note. I'm happy to talk about. We're doing presentations about on this idea all the time, but I'm happy to share information and just talk to people about it. But it's something that it's pretty easy to get passionate about.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna close the show the same way I opened it, and again, just say thank you for pouring into me and to pouring into other people in school PR. And I guess I'll say go Twins.
Go Rangers.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Have a great day.
Thanks.
Let's go watch some
Justin.
Baseball.
Good to see you. Take care.
Well, there you have it, another episode of School PR Happy Hour. I want to thank Bob for coming on and talking about everything branding and just continuing to pour into the school PR. Well, there you have it, another episode of School PR Happy Hour. First and foremost, I want to thank Bob for taking some time out of his day to come on and to continue to pour into the people who work in the industry that he loves. Branding is important, and we hope that you learned something today that you can take back to your district. We're still continuing to fill out season 5, so if there's topics in the school PR world that you're interested in that you want to hear about, or if there's something that you know there's an expert out there that would love to talk to us, please reach out. Before we sign off, I do want to say congratulations to our friend Ben over at Class Intercom on the arrival of his new daughter. Ben, being a girl dad is one of the best things in the world, and we're so happy for you. Let's go out there and be a little better at our jobs every day.